To the Rock. We are glad that you're here tonight, and I have a daunting task because I've got to convince you, or try to convince you, of something that all your life you've been told. I'm going to try to convince you otherwise. It's a daunting task. I'm up against some high odds. I mean, look at this. Even in your kids' books, you have been told that this world is millions of years old. I've got to tear down the kids' books, even, man. I'm facing some high odds here. Even Dr. Seuss. I mean, how do you do this? How do you tackle Dr. Seuss? Millions of years. Not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of years. It's a worldview that we have been taught. There has been no other worldview taught to most of us. And over the next 5 weeks, I've got the daunting task to communicate with you what I think is a very, very clear biblical truth about this world and how it began. Because I believe the Bible from chapter 1, verse 1. I believe it all. I hope you do too. And that's my paradigm, that I believe the Bible is true. Now, I know there's lots of different people here tonight. We're starting a series on creation, a five-week series, and we're going to talk about lots of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun, actually. I've been looking forward to teaching this for a long time. We're going to talk about dinosaurs. We're going to talk about the beginning of the world, how the world began. We're going to talk about what the world was like before the flood. Was there a flood? Was there really Noah? How did that giraffe get his head out of the boat? I don't know. You've seen the picture. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And I know there's a lot of different people here. We got people that are neutral. You know, you're ambivalent. Well, maybe the earth is young, maybe it was really 6 days, or maybe it's a million years, I'm not really sure. We have Christians, we have people here that are strong in their faith, and you believe what the Bible says, that there was a literal 6 days, that God created this earth. I'm going to encourage your faith during this time. And there are others of you that you believe what you've been taught all these years. And you believe that there is really no other answer, that science has proved that this earth is billions of years old and that we evolved. You've been taught that, and that doesn't surprise me a bit. Matter of fact, I'd be surprised if there weren't a bunch of people like that, because that's all we've been taught. It's all you've been taught. My goal is to convert you to become a young earth believer. Now that's going to be hard, and some of you might get upset about this. Some of you might. And to you, I just say, just lighten up a little bit, okay? We're going to have fun. I'm going to share with you kind of what has brought me to this point of conviction. Now, I'm not a scientist per se. I don't claim to be an expert scientist doctorate in this area. I do have an engineering background. I have a Bachelor of Science from Iowa State University. I've taken lots of scientific classes. I've had whole classes on thermodynamics, whole semesters just on the topic of thermodynamics. I've taken as much high-level math as you can take as an engineer. I did a year of graduate studies at Iowa State as well. Again, I'm not an expert, but this field has intrigued me. It has intrigued me for years. I want to tell you this, though, that I am a student of the Bible. And I have been for 26 years. And I take that very seriously. And I believe it. I believe it. And I try to obey it, and it's changed my life. And you can be thinking, what is the big deal? Why are we going to spend 5 weeks talking about something that I don't even know if it's true or not, or if it really makes a difference? Well, does it? Well, I think it does. Not only that, but we've been told we can't teach this in the schools. This was handed to me a couple months ago by a girl in our Sunday morning church. This was handed to her by her biology teacher at Mount Jordan, or maybe it's Jordan High School. I think it's Mount Jordan. But she thought I'd be interested in this. And basically what it says is that evolution is a fact, that creation science is just wishful religious thinking, and you may not mention creation science in our classroom. Evolution has been proved, and don't even bring up any other theories. That's what this is all about. Even though they admit in the first sentence, evolution may also refer to the change of one living thing to another, such as reptiles into birds. This process is called macroevolution. It's never been observed and should be considered a theory. They admit that right up front. Yet, the next page says, has anyone ever proved evolution? Evolution, point number 7. Yes. In exactly the same way that scientists prove any other deeply and widely held scientific claim. Can't teach it in schools. The academic world, the secular scientists, won't even publish anything that even smells, hints of intelligent design. They won't even look at it. The young earth scientists are excluded and ridiculed all the time. So we can't teach it in the academic world, evidently. I've got emails this week from people that are saying, you know, I don't agree with what you're going to teach. They've heard me teach it. And that's fine. I don't mind that you disagree. They say, I don't even know if it's appropriate. Why are you even doing this? At Christians that are not want me to teach it here. So I've had to teach it to my kids at the dinner table. That's the only place I can teach it, I guess. So I was preaching to them tonight at dinner about creation and evolution. The only place that's legal, I guess, to teach the biblical, what the Bible says about how this world started. In fact, this is the perfect place. And you know what? It's time we heard the other side. And I hope, I don't care what camp you're in, I just hope and pray that you would hang in there. And again, lighten up if you're an old earth evolutionist. Just lighten up and listen. Maybe God has something for you. Maybe God has a new thought for you. Have you ever thought? I had somebody say, I know what you're going to teach. I don't agree with it, and I'm not coming. I said, well, that's just great. That's just great. You disagree with what I'm going to say, so you won't even come listen to what I have to say. What is that? And I challenged them, and they said they'd be here. I don't know if they're here. Don't raise your hand if that's you, but I hope you're here. And they said they would be, because I challenged them on that. I said, that breaks my heart. You wouldn't even listen to what your pastor has to say on this important topic, because you have heard a different side. You're not even willing to listen to what maybe could be God's side. Maybe it could be. Maybe you'll learn something. I think you will. I've learned a lot over the years, and I am convinced of this. This is what I've learned. And that's what I want to share with you. Hopefully it'll help you. It'll build your faith. Maybe it'll convert you to being a literal Bible reader, and you'll read that text and go, well, I think it means what it says. Fact is, you don't have to squeeze a million years into it. It fits just the way it's written. And we're going to see that. Listen, we've been told things like this from Cornelia Dean of the New York Times, February 1st, 2005. She said this, there is no credible scientific challenge to the idea that all living things evolved from common ancestors, that evolution on Earth has been going on for billions of years, and that evolution can be and has been tested and confirmed by the methods of science. So there's no credible challenge. So let's just pack up and go home, I guess, because there's been no credible challenge. You know, the Bible says this, that the first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. And that's the way of the world, isn't it? I mean, if only one person has your ear, if you only listen to one side of the argument over and over and over, since you were in the elementary school reading Dr. Seuss, you've only heard one side of it, the Bible says that's going to seem right until someone else steps up and says, wait a minute, I question that. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it vigorously. And passionately, I'm going to question this idea that there has been no credible evidence. That is a bunch of, I mean, honestly, that is intellectually dishonest to even say that. I could give you a list of one thing. Go to answersingenesis.org and just type scientist, and you will see a list of 1,000 doctors of science, 1,000 who have signed this and say, I believe in a literal six-day creation. Doctors of all sciences, physics and molecular science, and 1,000. You know, don't tell me that there's not been credible evidence. These guys aren't stupid. We're going to question that. But there's one thing that we're going to have to hit a lot. That's this idea And I'll illustrate here. Whoops. Oh, man. This is going too slow. Okay. If we have a frog and we add some magic, say a kiss, usually, what do we get? Yeah, we get a prince, okay? And we call it a fairy tale. When we take a frog and we add a little magic, we call it a fairy tale. And we all know it's a fairy tale, right? We know that really doesn't happen. Yet, I have found that if we take a frog and we add time, it turns into a prince, and we call that modern science. Now, honestly, I just want you to think about it for a second. And if I just want you to think. Don't get offended and walk out. Just think about this for a second. Time is the silver bullet of the evolutionists. It is a silver bullet. It's the trump card. Without time, you do not have evolution. Without time, you do not have the Big Bang. Without time, you don't have human beings coming from lower life forms. Without time, they have to come up with another answer. It's the silver bullet. And that's why the old earth, even Christians, so violently and vigorously defend their stance that the earth is old, because young earth, those that I am, people I hang around with, people I really respect that believe the earth's probably a lot younger than we're being told, it takes time out of the equation. And it inserts God. It has to, for us. There's not another answer. So you take time out of it, and people will fight you. Honestly, I can't even believe some of the things I read online, how disparaging people can be. I mean, if you're a young earth believer, even a scientist, you are just laughed out of the internet, it seems like. You can't even say anything without people mocking you. Time is a silver bullet. And I think we have good evidence, as we'll see tonight. I'm going to give you evidence that has helped me to see that maybe, just maybe, this earth isn't as old as we've been told. And if that's true, all those other theories fall to the ground. You cannot have the theories that we hear about without time. And people give evidence for a young earth and they'll say, well, given enough time, we don't know what could happen. It could happen. We take that out of the equation, then we have to come up with a different answer. And we have a different answer, don't we? We do. And it's credible. I'm going to give you evidence of that tonight. You know, if I told you that I found a Rolex watch in the ground, and that I dated it, I did some radiometric dating, I found out that it was 1,000 years old. And it had the accurate time, and it was running. I said, I found this. It's running. It was running when I found it, and I found it right over there in that hole, and it's 1,000 years old. And I say, well, I don't think it's 1,000 years old. Well, why isn't it? Well, if I could give you some limiting factors that would make sense and logical sense, that would instantly bring the age of that watch down. In other words, if I said, well, you know, where you found it was that's an old mine. You're climbing that old mine. That mine was dug 150 years ago. And you found it way down in that mine shaft that had been covered up. So it can't be 1,000 years old, can it? How old could it be? 150 would be the limiting factor if you found it buried in a mine that was dug 150 years ago. That's the limiting factor. You guys follow with me here? That's not too deep, is it? I'm pretty simple here. These things help me. Okay, hopefully they'll help you. And then if I said, well, I don't even think, if you told me, I don't even think it's 150 years old, I go, why? It could be 150 years old. And say, well, you know what? That style of the Rolex watch was just designed 12 years ago. I mean, I have proof here. Oh. Well, it's at least 12 years old then. And he says, well, you know, honestly, the battery in that thing, it's been tested, and the longest it will ever run is 5 years. So what is the limiting factor now? 5 years. Now, we've been told that this earth is billions of years old. But if we can find some limiting factors, all of a sudden it cuts it down from 1,000 to 5, just like that, just using our minds. And I'm going to give you 15 limiting factors that go, wait a minute, I'm not sure if the world really can be billions of years old. And I think it's going to help you. My goal is to strengthen your faith during this series. Let's look at a couple verses. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand what? That the universe was formed by faith. At God's command. God commanded and the universe was formed. By faith we believe that as Christians. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Believing in the creation story helps us trust in Christ more. Luke 16:31 said this. He said to them, Jesus said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Someone said to Jesus, hey, just let me go tell my brothers about this. And he said, listen, if they don't believe Moses, they're not going to believe even if somebody raises from the dead. You know, Moses, we believe, wrote Genesis. And if we don't believe Moses, how are we going to believe Jesus rising from the dead? How can we trust it? It's going to help you be confident in your salvation. Romans 1 says this, for since the creation of the world, there was a point where the world was created. It doesn't say since the evolution of the world. It says since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. That's how we know God. We look at His creation. That's one way to know Him. We see who He is through His creation so that men are without excuse. Some people say, well, how can God judge somebody in Africa that's never heard the gospel? How can that even be fair? And I turn to this verse and I go, oh my goodness. Because they had it all around them. The creation was everywhere. God was there. They could have seen God in the creation. God says, you have no excuse unless you don't believe He created it. Unless you don't believe He created it. It is important that we believe we have the Creator God. It is important to believe that God caused a flood to come on this earth and He destroyed all mankind. Do you realize when you walk around this earth, you stand on the remnants of God's judgment? God killed every person on this earth except 8 people. Oh my goodness. I can't even comprehend that. But if you don't believe He's the Creator, then you won't believe that either. And you know what? There's a good chance you don't care if He's the judge because you don't believe the first part. I believe it all. I believe He made it. I believe He destroyed it. And He's going to judge me someday. It makes a difference what you believe. Listen, if the beginning of the book isn't true, maybe the rest of it isn't. I think of my boys, my older ones, we've been reading Genesis together. I think of my little boys, you know, if I was reading Genesis to them and I told them the story of Adam and Eve and I read Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11 and as I was reading, and if you don't believe that God created this world in 6 days, you're going to have some explaining to do to your kids, by the way. You're going to have to do, I don't have to explain, I just say that's the way it was. But if I had to explain my kids, well, kids, really, when the Bible says one day, it really means millions of years. Or a whole bunch of time. That's what it really means. Oh, okay. Now, what about the flood? Well, you know, that's just a story that kind of, you know, it was a localized flood, and it really didn't, you know, it's just a good story about how God rescues people and you have some explaining to do. You have some explaining to do. You know, I can imagine a little kid just looking up at their mom and maybe having to look up at you. Say, okay, mom, dad, at what point can we start believing the Bible? At what point can we start believing it? You tell me. I believe it all. I believe it's a very straightforward reading of Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11. Very straightforward. And I think we can believe it all. I believe that Satan knows that by denying God's express miraculous account of creation, it's easier to deny His plan of salvation and then the truth of the whole Bible. I believe that's true. I also believe that if God is subtly removed from people's minds as the Creator, then it is as simple for them to disregard Him as their Redeemer or Judge. Oftentimes, people don't want to accept God's authority in their lives. And honestly, there's scientists out there that will not ever believe this. Even if all the evidence pointed toward a young earth and a creator and intelligent design, they'll never believe it because they don't want to bow their knee to God. And they've admittedly said so. And you'll see some amazing quotes during this whole series. Amazing quotes. People are very honest about that. I will not bow my knee to God. Therefore, I'll never believe anything but evolution. I don't care where the evidence points, I will believe this. Matter of fact, there's evidence I know is not true. I'm believing it because I don't want to have to bow my knee to Him. Scientists will say that. Listen, let's take a look at what we believe about Genesis. I'm going to pray real quick because this is an important series. Lord, we thank You for tonight. Thank You, God, that I believe You are the Creator. I believe the whole book. I do. I pray that we would have a reverence for what You've written to us. That we don't have to throw our intellect out on the curb to believe Genesis. That we do have evidence. That it does make sense. We don't have to squeeze something else into it to supposedly match up what the so-called experts are trying to tell us. We can believe it, and it'll strengthen our faith in the whole book, in the whole story, that You judged this earth, God. You created it with the breath of Your mouth, and You destroyed it because of man's sin, and You're coming back to judge the world. I believe it. Help us believe it. Help strengthen our faith now, in Jesus' name. Amen. What we believe about Genesis. I'm going to go fast through some of these things. What we believe about Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. So some of the 10 most important words in the Bible right here. In the beginning, why don't you say this with me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's say that again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that. God created. How did the earth come to be? In the beginning, God created it. You know, one problem that you'll have, no matter what theory you come up with, as far as evolution, what happened after the creation, or after the earth was formed, you still have the problem of trying to figure out how everything got here to begin with. I don't care if it's the Big Bang or whatever theory you have. How did it get here? How did all this matter get here? You say, well, you Christians, you know, it's just religious faith stuff. Go teach that stuff in church. It's not scientific. Well, I say, where did your dirt come from? You tell me about your faith, and I'll tell you about my faith. You say, in the beginning, dirt. I say, in the beginning, God. Because you don't know where your dirt came from. You don't. You have no idea. And we'll see that when we talk about the Big Bang. Listen, what we believe about Genesis. Genesis 1, 2 through 5, the next four verses say this. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, honestly, I don't think you have to be a Bible scholar to figure out that that's talking about one day. You continue in Genesis, it continues the same way for day 2, day 3, day 4, 5, 6, and 7. Evening, morning, the first day. Evening, morning, the second day. There's no reason to squeeze millions of years in, is there, in the text? In the context of Moses teaching this, there would have been no reason for him to insert that, even in his mind, to his audience. The people of his day had a six-day belief that God created the earth. They didn't need millions of years. He wasn't trying to symbolically stick it in there. It's not in there anywhere. We don't have to do it. We can read it and take it for what it is. We can. It's okay. But what you're afraid of is, wait a minute, but the scientists say, you know what? If I said, you know, oh, I just found out today that 85% of all scientists now believe in the six-day creation. They just changed their minds. Would you go, oh, good, now I can believe the Bible? Then I got to say something that you're not thinking right. As a Christian, we believe the Bible. First, especially when it's as clear as this. What's unclear about this? If you read this to a fourth grader, he would come up with, God created the earth and the heavens in 6 days and He rested on the seventh. It's pretty clear. The Hebrew word for day there is the word yom. It's a numerical adjective for one 24-hour period. It doesn't mean anything else. If you look at where the same word, the way it's used throughout the Scriptures, it's not going to mean anything but that. Now, the word can mean different things, no question about it. The word can mean different things in different contexts, but in this context, you can't get anything but a 24-hour period. People don't even argue about that. We know it's true. It means one 24-hour period. The first day, the second day. Moses believed that. Listen, he later says in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. Moses wasn't saying keep the Sabbath millennium holy. No, he wasn't saying that. It's very clear what he is saying. He's alluding to the creation. He's saying God made the world in 6 days and then he rested. So you work 6 days and you rest is exactly what he's saying. He believed it was literal. If he believed it was literal and he wrote it, shouldn't we? Well, David believed it by the word of the Lord were his heavens made, their starry hosts, by the breath of his mouth. God created it with his breath. He opened, he breathed out, and everything was created. That's the God we serve. That changes my attitude toward God. And I don't know about you, it humbles me. And I realize he really did that. It does matter what we believe. But don't just take my word for it. This guy has something to say about it. This is Dr. James Barr. He's a Regius professor of Hebrew at Oxford University. He does not believe the Genesis account, meaning he doesn't believe the story. He's not a believer in the Bible. Nonetheless, he's an expert on languages, and he has admitted, as far as the language of Genesis 1, this. This is what he says. You might not be able to read that, but let me read it. So far as I know, this Hebrew scholar from Oxford says, so far as I know, there is no professor of Hebrew or Old Testament at any world-class university who does not believe that the writers of Genesis 1 through 11 intended to convey to their readers the ideas that creation took place. Any world-class university who does not believe that the writers of Genesis intended to convey to their readers creation took place in a series of 6 days, which were the same as the 24-hour days we now experience. The figures contained in the Genesis genealogy is provided by simple addition, a chronology from the beginning of the world up to later stages in the biblical story, and Noah's flood was understood to be worldwide and extinguish all human and animal life except for those in the ark. What he's saying is, there is no linguist that he knows of, Hebrew scholar, who doesn't believe that it's a straightforward, literal reading of those chapters for what it says, and that's what it means. 6 days, literally. If you're a Hebrew scholar at Oxford who doesn't believe Genesis and you believe this, shouldn't we? Who are we to squeeze millions of years because some scientists say, oh, we think it's billions? Somebody's wrong. I think somebody's wrong. Here's the 6 days of creation, or the 7 days of creation. 24-hour periods, literal. Day one, God created the universe, which is now energized. The Earth's rotation on its axis begins. Gravitational, electronic, magnetic, and nuclear forces are now in effect. Day one. Day two, separation of the upper and lower waters by space. The upper atmosphere probably had lots more water vapor. We'll talk about that next week. Would help in explaining the longevity of the flood, how people lived longer, and would help explain the flood itself. Day three, creation of plant life, totally refutes the theistic evolution. Darwin said life began in the ancient ocean. Moses said it began on dry land. God created out of dust. Day four, creation of the sun, moon, and the stars. Day five, creation of the fish and the fowl. Include everything from the tiny hummingbird to the mighty blue whale. Day six, creation of land, animals, and man. And God rested on day seven. That's what the Bible says happened. That's what the Bible says happened. I happen to believe it. Now, let's look at scientific evidence for a young Earth. These are the limiting factors that I was talking about with that Rolex watch. Let's just take a look at, again, some of the things that have helped me to get my arms around this, to go, you know what, I think there are some limiting factors. I don't think that watch is 1,000 years old. I think I can pretty easily go, wait a minute, it's a lot younger than that. And I don't think this earth is billions of years old. I think it's a lot younger than that. So let's look from history, first of all, from history. Let's just take a look at how we can put some limiting factors or what does history tell us that automatically caps the age of this earth. If we look at the Bible and just look at the timeline, look at the genealogies, you know those things that you don't like to read, you kind of skip them when you get to them. Talks about so-and-so begat so-and-so. There's a reason why it's in there in the Bible. And if you follow those things, they're pretty specific. We know that Adam, we know he lived about, I can't read it very well, 930 years, over 900 years. And you go, see right there, I can't believe it. Well, come back next week and you'll find out how that happens. Adam lived pretty old. He had sons, he had daughters, and we won't get into all that, but you can just follow their ages. It tells when Adam had his first son, at what age he had it, so you can start his timeline then, and we got his timeline, he started here, and you can just calculate out that from the genealogies in the Scriptures, you can come up with an age of the earth around 6,000 years old. If you just take those genealogies, and this is kind of cool too, if you kind of look at some of these things, you realize that, man, Adam was almost old enough to talk to Noah. He almost lived long enough. Adam knew Noah's father. He lived long enough to know Noah's father. If you look after the flood, look at that. You see how this works here? If you draw lines down there, I think I've got... Yeah, Noah could have known Abraham. And you think, now, how did the Bible get passed down generation after generation? No, it got firsthand knowledge. Noah was telling Abraham, or for sure he was telling Terah, who was Abraham's father. He knew him for sure. He was telling him about the flood. He lived a long time. You know, Noah was Abraham's great, 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 great grandfather. 8 greats. I think that's kind of wild. These stories, look at, if we look at Shem. Shem, who was on the ark. He was one of Noah's sons. He was on the ark. He lived so long that he would have known Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those guys would have known somebody that was actually on the ark, Shem. They could have known him. He would have, can you imagine sitting with Shem and hearing the stories of being on that boat for so long and how long it took him to build it? We're hearing the Bible stories. It gives you a whole new light on the Bible, doesn't it? It's like, oh, wait a minute, these aren't just passed down. These are firsthand stories that we're hearing from Abraham. So this is one way to come up with the length, that the age of the earth. We know when Adam was born, we can follow all the genealogies in the Bible clear down to our time. It comes up to about 6,000 years. And also, the Bible tells us that there was a flood. And this is why I've got this chart here. I'm going to bring it a little bit closer just to help you. If you look at the Bible and you look at the genealogies and what the Bible has to say, you know, basically what it says is that about 6,000 years ago, the earth was created. About 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. And that changed everything. Everything's been changed. The whole face of the earth has been changed. All mankind has been changed. Everything changed since that flood. But that's basically what we get from history reading in the Bible. Not only that, there's some other interesting things. And this is the timeline that I have here. Could the Bible be right? Did you know that the oldest known languages that we know, the oldest known languages we know, are less than 6,000 years old? Now wait a minute, hasn't man been around for millions of years? Why is it that only in the last 6,000 years they decided to start writing things down? The first fully developed systems of words, word writings appeared only about 5,000 years ago, according to World Book Encyclopedia. The oldest language is the year 4,700 on the Chinese calendar. Maybe they started with the birth of Shem. That would have been about 4,700 years ago. Why don't we find older language? I just want to pique your interest for a second. Why is it that we don't find older languages? It seems odd to me that we wouldn't, unless, I have a theory, that God created the earth about 6,000 years ago. About 4,400 years ago, there was a flood, and that changed everything. From this point on, God started with eight people. Maybe that's why there's no known languages before the flood. How about this? Nearly 300 ancient cultures have worldwide flood stories. That's kind of interesting. And they have a lot of similarities too. Why do all these cultures, these ancient cultures, talk about this worldwide catastrophe? You know, you've got places like, you know, you've got Italy and you've got China, you've got India, you've got all these places that they have these histories and these stories of this massive flood, and they have lots of things in common about eight people and a bunch of animals on this boat that survived. Question is, could it be more than stories? That's what I think. Maybe it's more than just a story. Maybe it's more than just legend. Maybe it really happened. And we're going to talk a whole week about Noah's flood. Is it fact or fiction? I think you'll be fascinated. I think we have evidence from history that puts some caps on the age of the earth. I think we have evidence from space. And again, you can find these are only things I had time to cover tonight. You can go to, again, the website answersingenesis.org, and they have some excellent scientific papers written by some really quality men and women. You should check that out. But here's just some of them. How we have some limiting factors, I think, on the age of the earth. Comets are a problem for old earth people, for evolutionists. Comets are a difficult thing. Why is that? Because when a comet makes its orbit around, when it gets closer to the sun, it starts losing matter. Does that make sense? It starts losing the gases or the ice or the matter on that comet. Now, that's not a problem if the earth is young. But the problem is that comets, they will lose their mass in about, even the biggest comets will lose their mass in about 10,000 years, no more than that. And so you go, wait a minute, most evolutionists believe that the comets were created at the same time as the Big Bang. Everything was created 5 billion years ago. Okay, so that's when comets started going. Okay, I got that. Wait a minute, and they wear out how long? Well, about 10,000 years after they're in orbit. The oldest ones. So wait a minute, we still got, you know, 4.9 billion years to go. How do we still have comets? It's a puzzling thing for old Earth people and evolutionists. But for us, it's not a problem because I have a theory that I think the Earth was created about 6,000 years ago. And about 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. And that changed everything. We don't have a problem with that. But you do if you're evolutionists. They've come up with theories. None of them have been proved or substantiated, but they have theories on how the universe could be being fed comets through some Oort clouds and different things, but none of that's been proven yet. If they prove it, then we'll talk. But the problem is that most comets disintegrate in less than 10,000 years. How about this? The moon is receding. The moon is getting farther and farther away from the Earth. Okay. Now, actually, I think that if we have it's because of this inverse square law. The moon is moving about 2 inches away from the Earth every year. Now, if that's been a somewhat constant rate, actually, if the Earth and Moon were closer, that rate would even be faster. But if it's moving away from the Earth right now, about 2 inches a year, what did the Moon used to be to the Earth? Closer. If it's moving farther away, it used to be, say it with me, I want to make sure you're following me here. Are you getting this? Okay, it's moving away. It used to be closer. So we can extrapolate, and again, if it was really close, it would actually be moving away farther because of this inverse square law. But we extrapolate out, that's not a problem. If the moon is moving away, it's not a problem if the Earth is young. But if the Earth is really old, there is a problem. If you do the math, about 2 billion years ago, a short 2 billion years ago, the Earth and the moon would have been touching. That's a problem when you have billions of years. It's not a problem if you have 6,000. It makes perfect sense, and we're doing fine. The sun is shrinking. Again, it's another limiting factor for how old this universe is. Do you understand that the sun is shrinking? You ever burn a marshmallow and watch it? The sun shrinks about 5 feet per hour. It's burning up mass and gases. Okay. Now, the sun has a huge effect on our planet. Would you agree? Even when there's kind of one of these flare-ups, these sun burps, you know, all the weathermen go, watch out, we're going to have bad weather. It really affects us. If the sun is shrinking. It used to be bigger. Say it with me. You guys with me? It used to be bigger. It used to be bigger. Okay, we know that. It's pretty simple. And that's not a problem if you believe that what the Bible says, the earth was created about 6,000 years ago. But it is a problem because about 100,000 years ago, just doing the math, the sun would be double its present size. Just a few short 100,000 years ago, 20 million years ago, the earth and the sun would have been touching. That's a problem. That's a problem. It's not a problem if the earth is young. But it is a serious problem if the earth is old and the universe is old. If the universe is 5 billion years old and that thing has been burning ever since then, think about how big it had to be. Just logically, think about that. How about evidence from the earth? Just looking around the earth, do we have limiting factors as we look around the earth? First of all, the earth's magnetic field is decaying. There's no question about this scientifically. We know it's happening. Its strength is declining. It's declined 6% in the last 150 years since they've been measuring the strength of the Earth's magnetic field. It's shrinking. It's getting smaller, constantly getting smaller. And that happens to magnetic fields. Now, that's not a problem if you believe in a young Earth. But if you believe that the Earth is billions of years old, then you've got a problem because life would not have been possible on the earth just a short 10,000 years ago. It would not have been possible. Matter of fact, calculations, computer models show that the earth would have melted under so much magnetic force. You just extrapolate back a little ways, 10,000 years. It's not a problem if the earth is young, though, and I believe it is. The Niagara Falls is a problem for old earth evolutionists. It's a problem. Think about the Niagara Falls. Its crest is being eroded away, and it's getting eroded at a constant rate. And you can do calculations and kind of see how old that thing is. Now, when they do calculations on the Niagara Falls, they realize that it is eroding about 4.5 to 5 feet per year, which show that the Niagara Falls is less than 10,000 years old. If you read the scientific journals, they figure it's less than 10,000 years old. How could that be if the Earth is millions of years old? Something that huge can only be less than 10,000 years. You say, well, wait a minute. How could it be even 10,000 years? Well, I got a theory for you. I believe God created the Earth about 6,000 years ago, and then there was a flood, and a whole bunch of water went washing down that river and took out about what looks like about 4,500 years worth of dirt in about an hour. That's what happens when erosion, when you got the whole world covered with water, it changes everything, doesn't it? There's no reason we couldn't come up with the Niagara Falls being about 4,000 years old. Number three, erosion rate is a problem for evolutionists. It's not for us. The erosion rate is minimal. The current rate of erosion, at the current rate, the continents would be flattened in a mere 14 million years. At this rate, we're assuming at the constant rate. You could say, well, it could change. Well, I still have about 4.8 billion years to go that we have to play with of erosion rate. Just in 14 million, at the rate that it is right now, the continents would be flat. That's a problem if you have an old Earth. It's not a problem if we have a young Earth. It is not a problem. I just want to challenge you. We're going to talk about this during the flood, but when you fly an airplane, I don't know about you, but the paradigm I have is that God created the earth about 6,000 years ago, and there was a flood, and there should be evidence of that. So when I fly, you know what I see? I see evidence of a flood. I don't know what you see, but I look out that window, I go, oh my goodness, God really did it. Everything I'm looking at looks like the bottom of an ocean. There was a lot of water on this place. You can just see where it went. It's everywhere. The evidence is everywhere. Go down to southern Utah and look around. What do you see there? I see evidence of a catastrophe and water washing through that place. You can't believe it. Where's all the dirt that eroded? Just answer me that. Where's all the dirt that eroded from those arches? Where's it? It's washed clean. My goodness. If it was just trickled down from raindrops and some wind erosion, wouldn't it be laying there somewhere? That valley is swept clean. Have you noticed that? Do you ever look at the bluffs and go, oh my, that about 3 miles over there, you can just see this bluff and it's just chopped off. And wait a minute, there's the same bluff over there about a mile away. There's a huge chasm. It's like, that used to be connected to that. And that's where we get Moab and all that place. You get all those rocks. The rocks stayed. All the dirt was washed out. How did that happen? Because 6,000 years ago, God created the earth. About 4,400 years ago, the whole earth was covered with water. I believe it. Look at you think, well, no, it was just erosion. Again, give me billions of years and yes, it could all erode away. Well, I just want to show you something just to challenge you on that. We have had the opportunity, the unique opportunity to watch a catastrophe happen at Mount St. Helen in Washington State. Didn't we? Remember that? You guys remember when that erupted? We got to see some amazing devastation from that volcano that erupted, that mountain that erupted. Here's what it looked like before the eruption. And here's what it looked like after May of 1980 when it erupted. Look at what's gone. Okay, the top of the mountain is now gone. Can you see that? This whole part is gone. That's a pretty big explosion, wouldn't you say? That was huge. Well, you know what that did? That gave us a great opportunity to examine what happens when major catastrophe, because there was high-powered steam just flowing through this place and lava and destruction. And I want to show you kind of what happened. We created our own mini Grand Canyon out there. You go out there and you look and it's like, oh my goodness. Look at this. Just look at all the devastation. This happened from that one catastrophe, that one day, and then days after that lava flowed and things like that. But look at this. There's a person standing there. This was a cavern that was created from Mount St. Helens. From the catastrophe, the flood waters that came out and all the steam that flowed. This is over 100 feet tall, this canyon. Here's a color shot of what happened to that area. Remember how pretty it was with that lake in front of it? Now look at it. Right after the explosion. Kind of reminds me of something else. I don't know about you. I think I look at the topography of the Grand Canyon and I go, you know, I don't know. Have any of you honestly just stopped and thought, how did that little river, how did that, it cut down all, how did that little river do? Well, what's the answer? Billions of years. Given billions of years, it could have happened. I say, baloney! A whole bunch of water went through that place, man, and ripped the dirt out. And if you don't believe that, then I got to ask you, where does that little river, where does it deposit all that dirt? Where did all that dirt go that was above there? It should be in the peninsula. It ain't there. You know where it's at? It's about 3 miles out. Oh, man, something, a lot of water went through there. It wasn't some little Colorado river, that little ribbon. It didn't happen that way. It did not happen that way. There was a bunch of water that came gushing through there, man, and it ripped it out just like it did at Mount St. Helens. The same thing. If you go to Mount St. Helens today and you didn't know much, you might look at it and go, wow, this must have taken millions of years of erosion. You might think that. It happened in an hour. I think the Grand Canyon probably happened in about an hour or two. It didn't take millions of years. It just, boom, it happened, and that little river is all that's left. At current rates, here's the problem. Our continents would have worn down in 14 million years. Also, problem number two, there should be at least 30 times the amount of sediment that we find now in our ocean floors. There should be 30 times that amount if evolution is true. If the Earth is billions of years old, it ain't there. There's a problem. It's not a problem if you believe the Earth is young, though. The amount of sediment is just right. It's just right. How about oil pressure? The oil pressure that we find in our sedimentary rocks, hard rocks, is high. When we dig down there, it's 20,000 PSI. You see the pictures, they dig down in the well and goes everywhere. It's kind of dangerous. Now, honestly, if the Earth is old at all, you know what? Even these sedimentary rocks, they have some degree of porosity, meaning they leak. I mean, my basketball leaks. If I put air in it, it's going to be low, you know, after about a week. These rocks, if they're under 20,000 pounds of pressure, and they have any porosity at all, they're going to leak. The pressure is eventually going to find its way out over time. Wouldn't you agree? And if the earth is really old, it doesn't make a lot of sense that there still should be oil under 20,000 pounds of pressure. After billions of years, it should have leaked out. But we still find it under pressure. It's not a problem if everything was buried about 4,400 years ago. And that's where we get our oil deposits. All that organic matter clumped together in the flood, dropping and being covered with sediment quickly. Yeah, that's under pressure. Problem, pressure should have dissipated 5,000 to 10,000 years ago. How about evidence from the Earth's rotation? It's slowing down. Did you know that? The Earth's rotation is slowing down. It says here that regular clocks, according to, well, I'll read this one, the Earth's rotation is slowing down. To compensate for this lagging motion, June will be 1 second longer than normal. This is called the leap second, announced by the International Earth Rotation Service in February. This is a true thing. This is a scientific fact. The Earth is slowing down. About a second a year, we have to adjust our clocks. Here's a newspaper article that shows the years and leap seconds that we've added to our clocks over the years. Every year we add about a second. Why? Because the Earth is slowing down. Everybody knows it. So, let me ask you, if the Earth is slowing down, it used to be going faster. It used to be going faster. Now, that's not a problem if you believe the Earth is about 6,000 years old. But if you believe the Earth is millions of years old and is constantly slowing down, and it used to be going faster, then you got a problem because the spin of the Earth causes what we call the Coriolis effect, causes our wind patterns. And in about a million years of speeding back up to where it was, the Earth would be uninhabitable. We'd be spinning too fast. You couldn't even inhabit it. It's not a problem that the Earth is young. It's the only problem if the Earth is billions of years old, just a million, and we got a problem. Stalactites. I like this one. Stalactites have been used as evidence that the Earth is really old. I mean, how long does it take to grow a stalactite or a stalagmite? How long? Some factor of a million. Okay, millions of years old. This is my boys and I were at Timpanogos Cave, close to American Fork. And in the cave, we were told these stalactites, tight means I got to hold on tight. Okay, this is how you remember it. I'm holding on tight. The stalagmite, I might reach the ceiling. Okay, that's how you tell the difference, okay? Stalactites growing down, we were told on this tour that they took millions of years. Here's a newspaper article tells us that these stalactites in this Carlsbad Canyon took 250 million years to grow. That's a problem for somebody that thinks the Earth is only 6,000 years old, I got to tell you. Whoa, if they take that long, man, what do we do with that? Well, could it be that they don't grow that slow? Could it be that there's evidence that maybe they grow a little faster? Here's the 2-inch stalactites in a shed that was built in 1926. That's kind of interesting. What about this? These stalactites were found under the Lincoln Memorial, built in 1922. They're 4 feet long. Built in 1922, under the Lincoln Memorial. How about this stalactite underneath the George Rogers Clark Memorial in Indiana? It was built just 40 years before this picture was taken. Look at that. There's an 8, 10 foot, 11 foot stalagmite or tite. I think they kind of came together there. Wait a minute. How can that happen? It takes millions of years. It proves the Earth is old. Well, I don't know. Look at these stalactites. This is in a mine that was built. The picture was taken in 1987, 55 years after the mine was built. Look at these. That circle is circling a person to show you how big these things are. That's a person. This is a sign in the mine. These things are 40 feet long, it looks like. The thing was built, it was only in operation 55 years before they took the picture. It took less than 60 years to grow these stalactites. That's kind of interesting. This one kills me. There's a bat that died and was covered by flowstone. Look at that. I'm pointing to its head and its arms. It died and it was covered so quickly that it became kind of mummified over the top of the stalagmite. That's pretty fast. Maybe it was alive. Maybe it was a really slow bat. I don't know when it got covered. Either way, it's covered by flowstone. Wow, that's kind of interesting. The teepee fountain found in Thermopolis, Wyoming, a man found a hot spring that had some minerals in the water, and he put a pipe in it vertically, and let the water come over the pipe. And you know what happens when you do that with minerals in your water? You kind of get that, you know, what you get around your bathtub, you get that mineral deposit. Well, that guy did that about 100 years ago, 1903. He put this pipe in the ground. You want to see what it looks like 100 years later? There it is. That's one big stalagmite. We know it's only 100 years old because he put a pipe in the ground 100 years ago. Could it be that limestone formations can form faster than we've been told? Could it be true that the earth is young? Quickly here, evidence from biology. It's kind of interesting to think about the oldest things on the earth. That's kind of a limiting factor. What's the oldest tree we know of? What do scientists say the oldest tree? Well, it's a tree that's found in the Nevada high desert. It's less than 5,000 years old, scientists tell us from ring studies. Actually, one study said that it's only 4,300 years old. The oldest tree on the face of the planet is 4,300 years old. Now, why is that? I got a theory about that. I think that the earth was created about 6,000 years ago, and about 4,400 years ago, there was a flood, and things started growing again after the flood. And the oldest tree is 4,300 years old, according to scientists. It's kind of interesting to me. What about the oldest coral reef, which is the Great Barrier Reef? They've done lots of studies on this. They calculate that it's only 4,200 years old. Wait a minute. I thought the earth was billions of years old. How come that coral reef isn't older? That's the oldest one on the planet. Studies after World War II show the growth rate puts the Great Barrier Reef at 4,200 years old. Why aren't there older coral reefs? And finally, a study of population is kind of interesting. Why don't we have more people? If the earth is billions of years old, and even 3 million years ago when they say that we started from amoebas, why aren't there more people on the earth? If you do a population study and start with 8 people, 4,400 years ago, you know what we get as a population? About 6.7 billion people. You know what the population was as of this morning? About 6.7 billion people. Start with 8 people 4,400 years ago, and that's what you get. If you start 3 million years ago, or just 1 million years ago, you would have produced 300 billion people. 300 billion people. That would mean, if that's true, if we've been having people on the earth for just 1 million years, there would be 24 graves per acre on this planet. That's not a problem if you believe the earth is young. If you believe the earth is billions of years old and people have been on it for millions of years, then we got a problem. Even conservative population estimates, with taking into account, you know, disasters and diseases that break down the population and start it back up, you still get way, way too many people. And it doesn't make sense for where we're at right now. But this does. This nails it. 8 people 4,400 years ago will give you what we have now. I think that's kind of interesting. Let me just summarize. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We can believe that. We don't have to read anything into that. You don't have to. Listen, if you can't be confident in the beginning of the book, how can you be confident in the end? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe that it's millions of years. You can do that. You can be a Christian and believe in millions of years. You can be a Christian and believe that Moses wasn't a prophet. You can be a Christian and believe that David wasn't king of Israel. You can be a Christian and believe a lot of things that don't do any good for your faith. I say, read it and believe it. There's no reason, according to scholars and linguists, to believe anything else. That's what was written. 6 days. The earth is 6,000 years old. We have some limiting factors. Are you ready to meet your Creator? God created the earth and He created you. And because of that, He has the right to judge you on that day when you stand before Him. And you will. Are you ready to meet that Creator, the one that made this earth in 6,000 years, the one that destroyed it 4,400 years ago and started over with 8 people? Someday, the Bible says, you will meet Him. Are you ready to meet this Creator? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the Creator. I believe that. I believe, God, that You have made this earth. I believe we have evidence that it is a young earth. I believe we have good evidence. There's a lot more than what I shared by a lot smarter people than me. People just say, you have to go out and find it. It's out there. God, I believe it, and it changes my faith. I believe it, God, that You're the Creator, that you are the God of the universe, that there is no other. I don't have to insert millions of years. I've got you, and I believe it. Strengthen our faith, I pray, God. In Jesus' name. Next week.